Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Genesis, the third chapter. My goal in teaching and preaching is to arm you, to put another tool in your belt, something that will help your walk with God. It's not just a book report. It's a matter of how is this going to affect my life? How can I be stronger as I walk out of here? And I pray that that's exactly what happens. In Genesis, the third chapter, starting in verse number 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." How foolish to try to hide from God. Amen. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" It's not that God didn't know where they were, but they needed to know where they were. "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Here is the first time the word afraid is ever used in the entire Bible. They never, ever experienced fear in their life until they disobeyed the commandments of God. So it's the first time the emotion of fear ever entered into the world. Can you imagine a world without fear, without any kind of complications in your life, but always being tranquil, always having peace in your life? But then disobedience brings fear into your life. Not sure what's going to happen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word, that you touch it, anoint it, bless it. Cause us, God, to draw closer to you and be prepared to handle any situation because of your word. And we'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. I'm looking at 1 John, the third chapter, in verse number 20. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." So if our feelings condemn us, and how many times do we feel that we're not worthy or something in our life has gone wrong, and so we condemn ourselves. God is not condemning us, but we condemn ourselves. "But God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." So if we don't have these feelings like I'm not good enough, God's grace isn't going to cover my situation, well, then we have a confidence that we can have whatever God wants to give us, you see. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep," why? "Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So the confidence that we have is because we're living for God and we're doing what the word of God says. But once we deviate from the word of God, then all of a sudden our confidence is gone, and now all of a sudden we feel condemnation within our lives, and now we're not sure that God is going to do what his word actually says. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Jesus said in John 18 and 37, "Everyone that is of truth," that's us, "heareth my voice." So it's not a matter of do we ever hear your voice, because we have truth. There is a confidence that we hear the voice of God. The question is, what do we do when we hear the voice of God? Do we run to God, or do we try to hide ourselves because we're afraid? First time the word afraid is here. Every one of us come to those crossroads where something is going to bother us, something is going to attack us, something is going to confront us. Now the question is, are we afraid? Do we hide ourselves? Or do we go directly to God knowing He's going to help us with our confidence? Here in Genesis 3 and 10, the word afraid is mentioned for the first time in the Bible. And the word afraid means to put in fear. Fear was the first negative emotion that Adam and Eve ever experienced in the world. Until they disobeyed God, they never knew what it was to have any kind of fear in their life. And if I understand my Bible, fear is an alien emotion back in the Garden of Eden, and it should be an alien emotion for the church. It was never the will of God for any human to taste of the emotion of fear. And just like sickness and sorrow and death are all alien things that should never have come to us, because that's not what God's design was for us, to prove that God doesn't want them to come to us after the rapture, all of these negative things will be absolutely eliminated in our life. So the perfect state or condition is the absence of those things like fear, sorrow, sickness, and death. And God wants to give us an atmosphere where these things are not affecting our walk with God. But until the rapture and that perfect state of being, God wants us to taste the earnest of those things that are going to come. In other words, He wants to give us a little bit, a taste, a down payment, if you will, to the state of perfect peace in the world to come. There's one thing that we'll never be able to enjoy until the rapture, and that's a new body. So we got to put up with the bodies that we have, and there's going to be problems. But we do have the earnest of the Spirit, a down payment on what is to come. The Holy Ghost is that earnest. And we have tasted of the powers of the world to come. We have a sensation of the supernatural life when we receive the Holy Ghost. So we get a little taste of what it's going to be like for eternity. Now, please hear me. If the Holy Ghost is the earnest of what God has prepared for us, then healing also is the earnest of our inheritance, of the perfect body that is yet to come. So He gives us a portion of what is going to be in eternity. Because someday we will have a totality of spirit, a state of being that is perfect, and we are also going to have a perfect body. So if we can taste of the earnest in the Spirit, we ought to be able to taste of the earnest of this new body, or a down payment, or some of the things that are yet to come, which gives us a greater incentive to continue to live for God, because we've had these experiences. We've had the down payment. We've had the... So you might just want to ask God, His name is Jesus, for an advance on your inheritance. You said you're taking us to a perfect place with a perfect body, and you said that your Spirit is the down payment of our earnest inheritance. And so could I have a little bit of advance on what you said we're going to have? You see, you have a right to the advance. Jesus took a beating for you so you could have a down payment. Amen. I said to Brother East today, I said, you know, if we didn't have access, then why would God put Himself in such a horrible situation and take such a horrible beating if He would now want to withhold that healing from us? I said, you know, He's worried about His son, and He's worried about His wife. And I said, I remember when my wife was in the hospital after her heart attack, and she was in so much pain. And I said, God, if You would just allow me to take on that pain and relieve her of that. I said, I realized that's the mindset of God. He said, I love them so much that I'm willing to take the place so they could have at least in earnest a down payment of what it's going to be like at the end of this thing and when I'm calling my saints home. Amen. You have a right. Someone needs to be healed tonight. Amen. Because you have a right. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you already have a down payment. You have an advance of your inheritance, if you will. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the reason Adam and Eve experienced fear is because they violated the command of God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, fear was produced by violated knowledge. Fear comes when we violate what we know is right in God's book, and then all of a sudden, there's this experience of, uh-oh. Now, we're doing our very best in order to live for God. Now, I have confidence to say, God, you said I could have this. I'm asking you to do this. I want in advance. Hallelujah. I'm going to the window, and I'm saying I need to have a withdrawal right now because I have been faithful to your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Trespass or violations of God's command produces fear. If you don't hear any more of what I'm going to say tonight, I'm telling you, when we trespass, when we don't deliberately or by omission do what God wants us to do, all of a sudden, when we come up to those crossroads of things that come into our life on a natural basis, suddenly we're fearful, you see. Therefore, obedience to God always produces peace. You know? When I walk into that high school room and I had really studied for the test, I really had peace. But if I didn't study at all, I walked in and I thought, man, I'm not going to do well here. You know? God says to Cain, hey, if you do well, you know, won't your offering be accepted? But if not, sin lieth at your door. Glory to God. Fear gives birth to guilt, but obedience gives birth to peace. Are you getting this? This is good stuff. You can use this tomorrow. Amen. God doesn't want us on an emotional roller coaster. One day we're up, and the next day we're down. One day we have confidence in God, and the next day we're wondering if God is anywhere near us, not wondering if God loves us today or tomorrow, or did he love us last week. He didn't move in today in order to move out tomorrow. When he filled you with the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm taking up a permanent residency within you. Whether you feel something or not, God is living inside of you. And now everything changes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, which gives us knowledge. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And as a pastor, I am constantly saying you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear the word of God on Wednesday. You need to hear the God on Sunday. You need, you know, because your faith builds up and it's a barrier to all of the fears and all of the anxieties that we have in life. Faith, not emotion, says God loves you. Amen. And when we're looking for an emotion, now I didn't feel anything, and so I'm wondering, does God still love me? No, emotion can't establish that love. It's the faith in God's word. And if we live by our emotions, our feelings can start to torment us, you see. Listen, God loves you 10 minutes before you ever felt the presence of God. Yet I long for his touch in order to reassure me You know, that he is there. But I must live by the knowledge of God, because knowledge can do great battle with the feelings that we have. When the feelings come, I can be established in the Word of God and say, hey, I don't care what those feelings are. I know what God's Word says. Amen. However, violation of our knowledge of God produces fear. And I know that God wants me to come to church, yet I make some lame excuse, and then fear and his ugly sister worry enter into the room. You see, I know I should be there, but, look at, there's snow on the ground, you know? And then, when I don't, now all of a sudden, fear comes, and worry comes, and torment comes, and now I'm not feeling as close to God, and I'm wondering if I'm still accepted. You see how the enemy of your soul works on you in order to separate you from the love of God? Would you turn to Daniel, the 5th chapter, please? Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 1. Familiar story for most of us. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, those are the ones he wasn't married to, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods, little g, of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Sounds like he was a little afraid. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. So he's having a big party. You know, and he wanted to impress his guests, all of them, and so he ordered all of the holy vessels out of the temple of the living God in order to drink their wine in them and have a party. And all of a sudden, God arrested his attention because he saw a hand that was writing in the plaster on the wall, and he didn't know what the writing meant, and so he called what he thought was the wise people of his day. Here a king who went from party time to a whole lot of shaking going on. His laughter turned to sorrow, unlike our sorrow turned to joy. He's shaken. The joints of his loins, that's where the legs are attached, the joints of his loin were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. Because he had known better than to party with the holy vessels of God. He knew it was wrong, and yet he did it in order to impress his friends. People get afraid for a couple of reasons. They don't understand what is going on. The king didn't know the writing on the wall. We have visitors that come in, they don't always understand exactly what's going on. And number two, a demonstration of the supernatural when you're really not living for God will scare you. It really will. It was bad enough that he was having a drunken orgy, but to violate God's honor and his purity and take the vessels that were dedicated to God and start praising the gods of gold and silver and wood that were dedicated to God, God just had enough. Let's bring it home. Let's put it on our street. If God didn't take lightly using pieces of ornamental vessels used to service in the temple, how much more when we, the temples of the living God, are in the wrong place doing the wrong thing? Oh, hallelujah. Vessels that are to be used to serve God are now being used for an ungodly purpose. We should be very, very careful what we let in our bodies or get involved, because we are holy vessels of God and we are separated just for the use of our God. The king cried out to bring astrologers and Chaldeans and soothsayers, and if you can tell me what is written, I'll give you a brand new suit. I'll give you a gold chain. I will put you third in the kingdom. Too bad he didn't get to the place where he just fell down and repented and said, God, help me. I did wrong. How many people today see the hand of God in their life? Writing on the wall. How many chances does God give us? Sets up situations sometimes in sickness and despair and financial ruin and family dilemmas. Not because he wants to make our life miserable, but he wants us to get on board. He wants to arrest our attention so we can get to the place where we're right with God. So even knowing that there is a great God in heaven, they look for relief from drugs and sleeping pills and alcohol and worldly remedies. There are a lot of people who are looking for some kind of remedy when God is at hand. I'll give anything for relief. There are people who will do anything in order to get out of their dilemma just for a little while, for a little relief. Church, if we can create an atmosphere that the King of Glory can give people a little bit of relief when they walk in and they feel a peace that they haven't felt, regardless of what kind of substance they've used or what kind of, you know, Chaldean they've gone to or soothsayer they've gone to and say, hey, there is something here that is comforting me more than anything else that I've ever experienced in my life. What happens is people now are relieved and now they're interested in finding the God who relieved them of these situations, you see? And then they'll ask, what are the rules again? You see, you can't give people the rules unless you give them some kind of relief. Amen. And once they start to feel the presence of God and the peace of God and the relief of God, then all of a sudden they want to know more about the God that gave them that experience. Amen. Consider, ladies and gentlemen, the times you and I have been afraid of our parents. Can I get a witness? Some of us are old enough to have parents that actually disciplined us. You know? Dad or mom said, now don't do that, or you better not do this. Now, dad and mom were never children themselves. They were born at 43 years old. They never did anything that we ever did. And they were always old and they were always perfect in everything that they did. At least that's what I thought when I was a kid. And then suddenly dad and mom come home. And suddenly you remember what they said. And you have this great sensation of tingling. And dad says, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Are you glad to see me? Oh, yeah. I'm glad you're home, Dad. I've been waiting for you. My dad had this truth detector with fresh batteries all the time. He could just look at me and I'd know. He knew. Well, what happened? Well, there was a violation of knowledge, which brought on fear and the tingling sensation in another area. I've just been too busy to get my license renewed, and then the police car pulls out around the corner, and there's this tingling sensation. Uh-oh. I knew I should have done that, but I didn't. And now all of a sudden, there's this fear. See, if I do what I'm supposed to do, hey, bring on all of the police in the whole state. There's no problem here because I know I'm going the speed limit. I know I've renewed my license, you know. I. Hallelujah. And when we violate knowledge, it brings fear. Fear has a twin sister named worry, and worry has an ugly brother named torment. And when you get that trinity in your house, there's problems. Amen. I want to have peace. I want to be able to boldly come before the throne of grace in time of need. You see, but I can't boldly come before the throne of grace in time of need if I know there's been some omissions in my life. Well, God says we shouldn't rob him. And God, I want a blessing. Well, yeah. Yeah. However, you see, obedience produces such tranquility. Faith is the antidote to fear. And that's why we need to hear the word preached. It's something that gets rid of fear. Now, God may allow us to stay in a situation to overcome our fear by exercising our faith. And I'm not saying that we'll never have those situations or there won't be some anxiety in some places, but the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your mind and your heart, your thoughts and your feelings in God. Hallelujah. So it's not wrong to have some fear, but we need to take that fear to the throne of God, and God can give us a peace that passes all understanding because his word will defeat every fear that we've ever had. You see, Daniel did what was right and was still thrown into the lion's den. Now, it just doesn't equate. It just doesn't seem fair. Have you ever had a situation? You're living for God, and it just doesn't seem fair, but it's to benefit somebody else in your life that sees that you still have faith and you still have calm and you still have peace in the middle of the storm. He prepares a table in the presence of your enemy. Hallelujah. And I would have prayed and I would have said, God, kill that lion now. Quickly, quickly kill the lions. But that's not what Daniel did. Daniel has peace because he acknowledged the word of God and he lined up with the word of God and he continued to pray three times when the king says no, but God says yes. So he pulls up a line and falls asleep. You know, hey, come over here. I need something to rest on. And he falls asleep. The only guy that didn't sleep was the king. Why? Because he knew it was in violation of God's law. He knew he shouldn't have thrown Daniel in the lion's den. And so here's the man who didn't have any peace. Daniel took his fear to the throne of God. And God will give you the peace for the situation if you take your fear to the throne. So Peter's put in jail, chained to a wall, and the soldier tells him, hey, in the morning, and we're going to cut your head off. So Peter falls asleep. Now, that just doesn't make any sense. I'd be talking in tongues all night. I'd go into immediate fast. God, remember all of the things that, look at the Bible studies I have taught. There are people I prayed through the Holy Ghost. God. What makes Peter so calm and tranquil is the knowledge of truth that attacks all of the fear that comes up in our life. I've got a catalog in my head. It goes back 40 years of all of the things that God has done for me. It's a catalog of all of the things, all of the testimonies, all of the miracles, all of the healings that not only I experienced in my own life, but all of the people that I have pastored over the years. And I go back to some screensavers and print them up for review when I become afraid of any kind of situation in my life. Brother Hefner crashes his plane, flips it over, and he just gets out and walks away. Well, if he can do that for Brother Hefner, he could do that for me. Amen. I remember a time when our son was just so little. I've used the story so many times in so many of my Bible studies. We were up north, and I lit a sparkler, and he had never seen a sparkler. He was 4 years old, and as soon as the sparkler was done, he went over and grabbed it. It was still red hot. Burned his hand, his two fingers and his thumb, and he's screaming. I remember taking him into the cottage that we were renting and jamming his hand into a pitcher of ice Kool-Aid and bringing it out, and he's still in so much pain. And he's standing outside, 4 years old. He's standing outside of the refrigerator, and he lifts his hands and said, Dad, we got to pray. He had more faith than I did. But somebody in a Sunday school told him. And instantly, no blisters, no hurt, no marks on his hand, God healed him instantly. And I can go back and I can review. You see? When I become fearful, I can go back to those situations and say, you know, God, if you did it then, you can do it now. There's no reason. I have been living for you. I've been doing everything I can. Hallelujah. Peter had the same technology back 2,000 years ago. Isn't it wonderful that we didn't need iPads back then, but you still have a catalog of all of the things that have been going on in your life and all of the people who were healed by the shadow of Peter, all of what he saw Jesus do for 3.5 years, and then what he did, he brought up the screensaver where he saw and heard Jesus say this, Peter, when you are old, you will stretch out your arms and another will dress you. And he thought to himself, I believe, hey, I'm not an old man yet. I dress myself. And if God said one day when I'm old, somebody else is going to dress me, then nobody's going to cut my head off in the morning. Amen. Good night. Amen. The knowledge of God will deliver us from fear. And I believe that the Bible says, as we read, everyone who has truth has heard the voice of God. And when God has told you something, if God has promised you something, and it still hasn't come to pass yet, I don't care what devil tells you and what they're going to do to you and what kind of sickness and what kind of financial dilemma you're going to get in. God's going to fulfill his promise. Based on the voice and the word of God, you can have confidence in God. And that's why we need to know the book. That's why we need to hear the preaching of God's word on a regular basis, because there are little bits of information that dispel the fear and the problems within our life. And now I have confidence, like it says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, because I'm living the best. Are we going to stumble? Absolutely. But I'm living the best that I possibly can. Oh yeah, 3 years ago I stumbled. But now I'm living the best that I possibly can. And now I have confidence that God is going to give me an advance on my inheritance. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. And you can say, it is written. And I heard your voice, and I'm not going to listen to any of the other voices that are coming to me. I don't care if it's a doctor. I don't care if it's an attorney. I don't care if it's a neighbor. I don't care if it's somebody in the family, somebody who is coming at you. God said, fear not, 366 times in the Bible. Baptism is mentioned 22 times. Does he understand that we're sheep and we're fearful? But if you can hear the voice of the shepherd. And I want you to know that God wants you to hear his voice. This isn't just a monologue. It's a dialogue with God. Sometimes we forfeit hearing the voice of God because we keep talking to God and we're not listening. But the greatest thing that could happen in your life is for God to speak into our life and reassure us that we have confidence that anything that comes against us, God's going to take care of it. So let faith replace fear, and obedience to his commandments will give us confidence. Oh, the Garden of Eden, what a perfect place to be. No emotions of fear whatsoever until they violated his commandments and then they hid themselves. There are too many people who are hiding that once were sitting on a pew. Not because God rejected them, but they were afraid because they hid lined up with his word. I love him tonight. I just want to get as close to him as I possibly can. I want to be as obedient as I possibly can. When I first came into the church, I thought I could never be like those wackos. I could never come to church 3 times a week. I could never live. But if God has asked us to do something, he'll put it in our heart in order to want to do it, you see. He'll cause us to walk in his statutes. He'll create in us a new heart and put a new spirit within us that will cause us to want to live for him. And then, no matter what happens, you can put your head on a pillow and say, okay, God, let the lions do whatever they want to do. I'm getting a good night's sleep. I don't care if the jailer says tomorrow is going to be my last day. I'm telling you, I have confidence in you. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I have to tell you, the night I got the Holy Ghost, once I got in the car, there was a voice that said, that wasn't really God. That was just you. I wonder how many times that happens to everyone who is filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that was God. But I remember after everybody left, I was one of those hard cases. Everybody came over to the home to celebrate. And when they left, I went to the bathroom, got down on my knees. There was no choir. There was no organ. There were no people around me praying. I just lifted my hands and I started worshiping God, and the language came, you see. Whose report? And you keep taking steps to advance in the kingdom of God, and you're building your own book of great things that God has done for you. Amen. The altar's open, would you come?